Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
To a shack of mystery, to big conspiracies, curiosity. Spin the tales of Daniel and Robosaur. Defy explanation, leave you wanting more. Mongman sightings, government denies. J-Clone guides you through the lies. Flat Earth claims, they say there's no proof. But we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. There's no proof, but we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
Oh, I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready!
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I'm Daniel.
Oh, that would have been good.
Yeah.
You want to restart it?
No, we're rolling with it. F it, we're doing it live!
I'm Daniel!
And I'm Wilbur. Welcome back.
Do you know AJR has a song shack. Called I'm Ready that starts with that?
Like the SpongeBob, I'm mm-hmm. ready? Nice.
It's good. It's a good song.
Actually, I think I've heard it.
Yeah, you definitely have.
I'm pretty sure you played it for me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
A little bit of an AJR fan.
A little bit, you think?
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning more about this thing I was looking up before, you know? There's more. There's the Senate version. Now I just found the House representative. There's another bill separately. It's also the same thing. It's trying to be passed.
Two separate bills?
Yeah, this one's HR 1007. The last one, this one's in the House. The other one was in the Senate.
Yeah.
Unless this is the same bill.
It'd be the same thing, just the front code changes.
So it's the same exact bill? Yep, you're right. It's the same exact bill, just one's in the House, one's in the Senate.
Yeah, because okay. The other one was what, S something?
Yeah, the Senate one, S5. Yeah. What is it, 55A or something?
It's just telling you when you look it up, like it's the same. It's the exact same thing.
Yes, okay.
It's just telling you where it is.
Gotcha, okay. So this bill was introduced by a senator. A Republican senator.
You gotta talk into the microphone.
This bill was introduced by a Republican senator, and it was introduced from South Carolina was the senator, and then the House of Representatives, it was the bill was submitted by introduced by a Republican representative from New York, Michael Lawler. Wonderful. And that would be H.R. 1007, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act of 2025. So if you guys are not aware of that, you can Google that and go to congress.gov. And
we'll put the links all below.
Yeah, because it's really hard to actually see the bill. You got to go to like the page with the bills on and tells you about it. Then at the bottom of that page, there's like a link, and you got to click that to see the version of that bill, it says, but it says without text beside it in parentheses. You got to click that link, and that brings you to a separate page. Then at the bottom of that page, there's a separate PDF link you have to click, and once you click that, then it can pull up.
So we should just, I think we should be able just to put the PDF link.
Oh, yeah, we can. I'm just saying difficult the process is to actually look at the bill. And basically, the bill is just
adopting the definitions of anti-Semitism from, what was the group?
And the IHRA.
Which we will include the link to their
website
definitions. So the government's, if this passes, they're adopting the definitions from this group.
Their definition, they're adopting their definition of anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And they're applying that definition then to the discriminatory laws that we already have in place for other people.
The U.S. Discrimination Act.
Yes, including, like you gave me, for example, a renter or a landlord won't rent to
like a black couple.
Yeah, but like, just because they're black.
I mean, race, gender, religion.
Yeah, anything. So that did already cover,
age, you know.
That did already cover Jewish people, but
the religion thing
is a little funky.
Is a little loose.
Yeah,
it's that I will say, being fair to everything.
Yeah,
the religion thing when it comes to the Discrimination Act,
right? Because you got to separate church and state.
Is pretty loose
because it does.
It could use refined.
Yeah,
like that's, you know, what is it called, like a living constitution,
right?
The U.S. Constitution amendments and all that. It's a living constitution. Oh,
okay. Yeah, it's always changing. It's always being added to. It's growing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're basically what they're doing is they're just adopting this group's... And did I say the group yet?
Say it again.
Oh, it's the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, also known as the IHRA, which the United States is a member of.
Yeah, it's an international... We discovered last night. It's an international group of a bunch of countries. And it looked like... What did we talk about? It was U.S., England... I'm trying to think. There, Israel.
I have to look again.
I'm trying to remember the big countries that were like.
I just know that in this bill, as I'm reading it, you know, they're basically what they're doing is they're applying anti-Semitism to this discriminatory laws. So it's making it part of it, which, you know, it's not a bad thing.
There is, and with any bill, we've talked about it before. There's good and what could be perceived as bad. I just suggest you guys, we'll give you the links to all of this. Read them.
Mm-hmm.
And you decide for yourself if the bill is good, bad, or indifferent.
And let us know what you find.
I'm very interested because even me and you reading it together.
It's very confusing.
Interpreted things differently.
Yes.
And that's why we're not really going to go into it fully.
Yeah, but I ask that you guys take the time and...
You look at it!
Hi.
Look at it! Look at it! Look at it! Look at it! I want all of you to look at it!
All right, yeah, so take a peek at it. We'll put the links below. That's the bill they're trying to introduce right now. They're talking about, at least it's being talked about in Congress. So this could just be another smoke and mirrors. It could be nothing. Or it could be something very serious that could open the door to a lot of other things.
I'll give you my personal opinion on the bill. And it's actually nothing directly to do with the anti-Semitism, more the freedom of speech aspects of the bill.
Right.
There are parts that, I mean, even me reading it, talking about it last night, I really agreed with, you know, that does need to be added.
I agreed too.
And then there was other parts where I'm like, that either needs clarified or that's not right.
Agree. Yes.
Because
it
is still confusing.
100%. And that's the point of these bills. They're confusing.
That's any government bill.
They use confusing words and confusing dialogue to push, and they push these things through, pass it, but then they use that confusing dialogue to twist what those words mean.
Right, right, right.
And then they can kind of interpret it. Area. Yeah, they interpret it how they want to interpret it. So with it being this convoluted of a bill, because I'm telling you, it's very confusing. It's not that long to read through, so it's worth reading through.
As far as any of the bills we'd ever looked into, it is the shortest one.
That we've looked into recently, mm-hmm. for sure, because they're always 100 pages long.
Well, I had to work with, like, the Invasive Species Act, the Clean Water Act, and any amendments, even amendments, that which is, this would be an amendment to the Discrimination Act.
Right.
And I don't think that's its actual name. That's just, like, its nickname.
The nomenclature name.
Like, the Discrimination Act. Yeah. It's not called the Discrimination Act. It's
right, yeah.
Something, something, something.
Something someone more educated would know off the top of their head than us.
So it's like an amendment to that.
Right,
Act or bill or whatever.
It's very
short.
To me, it's odd that right now and with things going on in the world today, and then when you look up the definitions from this group, and spoiler alert, there is no defined hard definition in this group at all. It's...
Well... I was going to let them figure that out themselves.
All right. Well, just go. But I'll send you the link to the website, but I want you to...
We're going to put all the links in order.
Yeah, true.
In order. Please just go through them in order.
If you have questions, please message us, email us.
Or, yeah, and we'll answer questions and stuff like
cause,
that.
Because, yeah, I am also not the most educated person in the world at all. Not ever claimed to be. But I want to know what this stuff means. I want to understand what the goal is here, and I want open dialogue and discussion about it. And I think that's healthy for a good, healthy country.
Sure.
And I think we need to have open dialogue, and I'm just here to learn. And yeah, but it can be quickly twisted and viewed as hateful and hatred, and it's not the intention at all whatsoever. No sentiment in that direction. For me at all whatsoever. I don't care, but I do care about everybody's rights, everybody in this country, like everybody, not just like certain groups of people, not just certain people in a certain economic rungs of the ladder. I'm talking about everybody from the top to the bottom, rich, poor, doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, what your gender is. I don't care. I just want rights for everybody. That's all.
Sure.
So what are we going to talk about today?
Cows.
Oh, and that's a quick little twist. It's like an M. Night Shyamalan episode, Shaq episode.
Is it?
Except the twist comes in the beginning, not the end.
Oh, wait until we talk about the real thing.
Stay
tuned. The giant pyramid in North Dakota.
It will be like one of them.
It's open for one day and is now the Illuminati headquarters.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we did talk about that. I hope that's not tied in with cows.
It is. There are cows around it.
It's going to be like one of them like shorts on whatever. It's on like YouTube or Facebook, or it's like, just stay to the end of the video. You got to watch the very end. Just watch the very end. You'll see. I hate that stuff so much.
I always scroll.
I know, because it's BS.
The second you say anything like that, I'm done with your content.
And then I realize, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this with my life?
So whenever I'm driving around with Lisa and we see cows in the field, I always yell this.
Uh-oh.
You look at it!
Hi.
Look at it! Look at it! Look at it! Look at it! I want all of you to look at it!
Well, that's the same normal thing to do.
Well, the reason it being is when we were first dating, in like the first month, there was baby cows in the field, and she was sleeping in the car. And I didn't wake her up for it.
Oh, no.
And so she gave me all kinds of crap. So now I do it all the time, and she just doesn't care. Like, I don't, like, I've seen cows.
She stepped in it, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you want to see cows?
Yeah,
you want me to wake you up for cows? I will wake you up the rest of your life.
Look at it!
That's so funny. Oh, man. So that's it for cows.
I may need to get a coffee.
So next. Oh, no. Yeah, what are we going to talk about with cows today? So we've and previously in the show.
So you want to raise cows?
Right, you want to raise cows, do you?
I hate cows.
Why?
So out of all the animals we had on the farm, cows were the least experience we had with them.
Okay.
We always maybe had one cow here, one cow there kind of deal. And it was finishing cows. We never had a baby cow. Like
no bottle babies?
No, nothing like that.
So you never bonded with them?
I mean, I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm just saying that it just when I was young, it was the least animal I had experience with.
Fair.
And then the experiences I did have with them were quite negative.
Yeah.
Because we had a farmer locally get stomped to death by his own cows.
Yeah, it's not. It's scary.
So
it's real.
They will. If you like, he fell in the pasture, and they just, I don't know if they thought he was a coyote. but they ran over and stomped them to death. They're big.
Yep. Oh yeah, cows are gigantic.
Especially, it depends on if it's a dairy breed or a beef breed.
Mm-hmm.
But they're big, dumb animals. I will say that they are panicky.
Sure.
A hit first, a run first, and ask questions later. They'll kill each other. They'll kill you. Bulls, males that are still intact, that have been, there's a famous one, there's Rufus and Redford, which are like TikTok, Instagram, like real.
Uh-huh.
And where they'll be lovey-dovey, and then like the one he flipped the gator that the guy was in and ran through an electric fence to try to kill him.
Right, yeah.
And he had him since a bottle baby.
Yeah. That's males. That's different.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, and it's like, horses, I don't trust every horse, right? I don't trust a horse I don't know, because you don't know how a horse is going to react.
And they're huge.
And they're huge, but I'm not scared of a horse, unless it's absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
I've been around horses a lot. I've pulled a horse out of another horse.
Nice.
Yeah, I've been around horses quite a lot. So even if a horse is coming at me pretty aggressive,
you know what to do.
I feel confident enough in my abilities that I'm either getting out of there okay, or I'm ending the aggression pretty quick.
Right, yeah.
Cows, I just don't have that experience.
That's the thing. You need the confidence to do it.
It's experience. Like, if you grab, I mean, you joke about the ostrich in the neck.
Oh, yeah.
But no, a horse's ear is so sensitive.
Uh-huh.
That if you grab it and just yank, and this is only in, like, a horse is trying to kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it can cause damage to the horse.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad had to do it to one horse that was trying to kill him. And they'll drop. 1,200 pounds just hitting the ground.
Yeah.
Their ears are sensitive.
It's their Achilles heel.
They are sensitive. Their faces are extremely sensitive. So, like, people don't get this with horses. We'll do a horse episode, too. I love horses. But people don't get this with horses. Them touching you with their lips is okay. Them biting is not.
Okay.
So when they're babies, there's a training regime that you do for that. Because their lips are like their hands.
Right, yeah, yeah. They do a lot of feeling with
them.
Yeah,
they're hyper-flexible. Yeah, they're hyper-flexible. They actually have tons and tons of nerve bundles in their lips, which is weird for a lot of herbivores.
Because
you're eating spiny plants. And that, right, don't want them. But they do so much physical touch with their lips that it's like their hands.
Hmm.
So, like, petting their lips and stuff. If I still had my horses, you'd see, a lot of times, it looked like they were eating my hand.
But they were just feeling.
I was literally, no, just scratching the inside of their lip.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
They'd hang their lip low, yeah. Like they were waiting for you to put a big dip in.
Yeah.
And it's just that it's a spot they wanted me to touch.
Gotcha.
But that's, you know, a relationship you develop with those animals. Cows are great. My brother was really, really into cows. He went and worked on a big dairy operation for a long time before he couldn't walk anymore. And he loved cows. And it's just, I just don't have that experience with cows.
Yeah, your brother Duke.
Yeah, my brother Duke. So let's talk about homesteading with cows. And I think they are a crucial part. My opinions on cows are not unheard. Or what are you laughing at?
It's just, that was a dumb joke.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
My opinions on cows are not unknown, that I do not like the industrial beef and dairy industry in the right. U.S. around cows. Cows are very, very hard on the environment in large numbers. They are very resource intensive.
Mm-hmm.
Out of any of the agriculturally produced animals, they have the lowest feed to weight conversion ratio.
Okay.
So for anybody at home, that when we talked about it with pigs and everything else, feed to weight conversion ratio is basically how much food
is going in
to produce
how much meat you're harvesting off that animal. Yeah.
And cows are extremely low. I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but it may be like...
That's because their meat's just so tasty packed.
I don't even care for cow that much.
Because you just don't have a refined
taste. I was a vegetarian for like 7 years.
That explains a lot.
And if you are a vegetarian or you went, like even like a pescatarian diet, I'm not the only one that's shared that. Red meat is extremely hard to go back to.
Mm.
It's very hard to digest.
Interesting.
So your gut biome just
doesn't like it
because it's rotting. Some of it's rotting before they're digesting it. So it can, not dangerous, but your body just like, that's not food for us anymore.
Mm.
When animals like poultry and even pork are much lighter proteins.
I think you just need to bite into a raw steak.
A raw steak?
Yeah.
I would throw up.
Get that bacteria back in your gut.
I would throw up.
And I'm telling you, you'll be mowing down steaks.
So Whether you're interested in a dairy cow or a beef cow, there's a lot to consider before taking on such a responsibility of such a large animal. But don't worry, there's a guide that this young lady named Rebecca Price, formerly White, has wrote for us.
Wait, what?
Her maiden name is White.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like, no, not that she was formerly White.
Like Michael Jackson reverse thing?
Yeah. No, Rebecca Pierce.
Oh, but okay.
She was formerly White.
I was like, what was she? And I wouldn't want to eat that anymore. It changes your colors.
And she claims it's not as difficult as it seems at first.
Sounds like something DuPont would put in your water.
With a little practice and some hard work, raising cows can be an immensely rewarding experience. They're a very excellent source of milk and meat. And we're going to go through it. Another thing I absolutely I'm appalled by cows, is when, and I get why they do it, when farmers and even ranchers allow large herds of cows access to creeks.
Okay.
Because what happens is they stomp all the stones
down
into the muck.
Mm-hmm.
So they get rid of all the habitat for all of the micro or all the macro invertebrates.
Gotcha.
They, what's called eutrophying, where they poop and pee in the water. It's eutrophication is what it's called. Basically, they turn all the water, sometimes for miles downriver, toxic.
Mm, okay.
They kill off everything.
Mm-hmm.
So here in our part of Ohio, this is a huge fight with the Mad River watershed.
Okay.
A highly protected watershed that many farmers let hundreds, and maybe even thousands of cows poop, pee, and stomp in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They do it because then it's access to free water.
Right, yeah.
So I get why they do it. There's some, I personally think it should be outlawed in our state because we have so much access to water.
Daniel.
Because it's so detrimental to the watershed.
You sound like the man.
Yeah. No, just because I worked in the watersheds and you could tell, even if the water was like the watershed was pristine and we weren't getting bad samples, it's like, and then we'd look into why, you know, do some research, and there's a cow farm there.
Oh, it's like, oh.
Oh, yeah. That's why everything's dead.
Time after time.
Sometimes our longest one, and I almost named the dairy. That would have been bad.
Yeah, that could have been.
Our longest one away was like 10 and a half miles. They had killed this whole river.
Whoa. It wasn't the one I like that comes in the glass bottles, no. Is it?
Oh, it's by them, though.
Well, at least it's not them.
So that's what I'm saying is that it's very, it can be extremely detrimental to even large bodies of water.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
So, but in states where water's extremely hard to come by, I can see it for that practice. But in our state, we have a pretty high water table.
Mm-hmm.
We have access to water pretty much everywhere if you drill.
Can't we just pull water from the creek, though, and like pump it onto your farm?
Yeah, yeah, you can apply for permits for that in Ohio.
Like, they, I feel like the government should provide that for you. If we're gonna make, if we do like want to protect the river, they should provide the access.
The permit is for basically a watershed survey that tell you how much water you're allowed to take.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a public resource,
right? Yeah.
And they'll basically, they can kind of figure. I don't know exactly how they do that, but I've seen it. I've been a part of some of those permitting processes.
Yeah.
Where it's trying to decide how much of the resource you deserve.
See, and then we get into that area. That happened, what was that, California this year, last year? Where they were like
hoarding. The water rights. No, it was Iowa.
Iowa, yeah. Or was it Idaho? Or
it may have been Idaho. It was a Midwestern state.
Yeah. But yeah, they were having water issues, and the government wouldn't let them have access to their, or certain reserves, because other farmers were using too much, they said.
Yeah, it was a water right fight.
Yeah, it was weird.
So we have water rights here too. It's not normally ever been that big an issue.
Yeah.
But like I said, the permit is really just to figure out how much you're allowed to take and what system you're allowed to use.
No, that makes sense.
Because you can't put a giant industrial pump
right in
a 12-foot wide creek because you're just going to drain it.
Yeah.
And that, you know.
So the creek ends at that point.
You laugh, but I've seen it with some infalls for nuclear power plants.
Yeah.
Where they suck in water to cool.
Yeah.
And
it's dry.
It goes from 8 foot to flat for a little bit, like where just water kind of passing over.
That's crazy.
So why should you raid cows? When you decide to raid cows, the first thing you should do is figure out what breed you want. There's a lot of questions to help you ask yourself to kind of determine this. Do you want to raise cows for meat? or do you want to raise them for milk?
That's basically the two options, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can just have pet cows.
Well, besides that, yeah. I guess as like, a production animal.
Yeah, for a production animal, it's meat or milk.
Yep. There's no fur, hair cows.
But like longhorns, people eat longhorns.
Huh?
But longhorns anymore are pretty much a decorative breed.
Oh, they don't have like the best steaks?
They have good steaks. I mean, they're fine. They're a meat breed.
Oh, okay.
But
we know longhorn steakhouse.
When you look at the price on them,
yeah,
the live animal,
uh-huh,
it is a decorative or fancy animal price.
I was just going to say, it's like a fancy chicken.
Yes. And same with Highlands.
Mm.
I
don't know what a Highland is.
The big furry cows.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, Highland, yes. They got like the mop top looking heads.
Yeah, yeah.
With the horns.
They can't see.
Yep.
Which they're, I think, originally a dairy cow.
Hmm.
I can't remember off my head. But anymore, they're a decorative cow.
Okay.
So yeah, meat or milk. What does the market look like where you live if you're planning on selling meat or milk? And what are the rules that you have in your local community for those? Or do you plan just to consume everything yourself? So, you know, one or two cows, if you're just wanting milk for yourself. Or, you know, meat, we talked about it when we start raising cows, we're just going to do one a year.
That's all you need.
For a small family or even, you know, a group of families, a beef cow, a big Angus or, even you know, anything like that,
that's
plenty.
That's what my mom, I think, wants to do for, like, me and my brothers and sister for Christmas this year is buy a cow and get it quartered for all four of us. And we each of us get a quarter of it.
That's nice.
Put in the freezer, yeah. I mean, that's a great idea. So anyone out there, like, they're... Think about that. Like, don't go to the store and, you know, go to Walmart and buy your steaks.
Oh, my gosh. It's so much cheaper if you just buy a quarter of a cow.
Buy it from a farmer.
Local butchers, I know I can name, like, four off the top of our head that you can just put on the list, and they'll call you when your quarter, half, or whole cow is ready.
Right.
I just got a half a cow last fall. I still have some of it, but I got half a cow last fall, and it was $610.
And I don't, if anyone knows how much half a cow is.
It filled up my giant deep freezer.
It's a lot. It's a lot of meat.
I mean, it was probably 60 pounds of hamburger. I can't even tell you how many steaks, how many roast. I mean, we had roast for months.
And I want freaking everything, the bones, the tallow.
I have a bunch of the bones.
The tongue.
I didn't get the tallow.
To get the tongue?
I don't like tongue.
You know what? You're going to learn to like it.
Some people, Grandpa liked tongue and he liked tripe too.
I don't like tripe. All right. I'll settle with you then. Tripe is horrible.
And yeah.
It's terrible. I don't know why people like it. It's a horrible texture. It tastes gross.
Grandpa cooked it like calamari.
I can see that. Yeah.
Tripe's one of the sections of a cow's chambered stomach for anybody else.
I thought it was like the intestines. It's one of the stomach.
Yeah.
Did you just about gag?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I did.
I thought you were...
No, that didn't bother me. I've got these animals.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's blood for you.
It's human blood.
Human blood, yeah.
It's human blood. I don't do well with human blood.
What, tasting it or seeing it?
Either.
Oh, okay.
Either. Do you plan on breeding cows? And how much space do you have available? Cows require a lot of land, especially if you're grazing and not, you know, feeding hay and grain. You need to carefully consider the resources you have available and decide what kind of cows you'll produce. Some farms choose to raise cows only for purebred or only purebred animals, sticking with just one breed and keeping a closed herd. If you plan on showing your cattle in 4-H or other exhibitions, that's a smart choice.
Mm-hmm.
So closed herds is it's what's produced on my farm. It's all my animals. There's no incoming stuff, and that's good for disease control and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And controlled genetics.
Mm-hmm.
However, if your goal is simply just to produce enough meat or milk to support your family, there's nothing wrong with raising crossbred animals either. If it's just for you and you just, what?
I was going to go, crossbreed!
If it's just for you and you like that kind of stuff, I know like a really popular hybrid is, I already mentioned, the Highland and the Longhorns.
Oh,
they mix those. And they have the big long horns on a big furry cow.
Yeah. Like in the cartoons.
But like I said, you know, if you're just doing it for you and you don't care, that's fine. What? There's often
producing mutts, you're saying, basically. Yeah.
So this first generation after a crossbreed is called, you know, often has hybrid vigor, which is stronger and healthier than both parents.
Hmm.
But after this, if you breed those animals again, you start losing genetic stability.
Okay.
So the first cross on a most, and this is true for most mammals, the first cross of a hybrid of a breed, you'll have the hybrid vigor.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be stronger, healthier. Normally they get to maturity faster, all of that. But if you take that animal again and breed it, so now we're the second generation of hybridism, you lose what's called genetic stability.
Oh, so things start going wacky.
You can end up with anything.
Yeah.
You can lose all of the favorable traits you had.
Right. It could be all recessive.
Yeah. You could get a really good animal. I'm not saying it's guaranteed you're going to get a bad animal.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you do this, the more that you're losing genetic stability until it rights itself many generations down the line.
So the first time they do it, it'll be like the positive traits will take over.
That, yeah. If you want to, you're producing a calf every year to eat.
Yeah.
That's fine, because you're going to eat that calf. You're not ever planning on breeding that calf again.
Right, right.
But, you know, I'm just saying, and there's nothing wrong if you just keep crossbreeding. If you don't care and you just like your cows.
Right, yeah, just keep
that's
going.
Fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
12 generations down the line, it's just like a...
But you probably wouldn't even tell what it is.
Probably not. It's rat rickets.
Yeah, so the average dairy cow produces more than 7 gallons of milk per day.
Oh, okay, that's a lot.
Well, a finished beef cow can provide with more than 400 pounds of retail cuts of beef.
Heck yeah. Beef tenderloin, so good.
Once you decide the reason behind why you're raising cows, you'll need to select the breed. Each breed of cow has different rates in which it grows and for which it's recognized. For the research individual breeds, or research individual breed associations to find out more information about these traits to help determine which breeds, like, there's all kinds, and I'll give you some breeds here in a minute, but... There's national groups for every breed of cow. It's just cow people. It's an old thing here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And the groups that enter are highly sophisticated. And you can Google, and they have all these free resources that you can look into and decide if a Holstein's what you want, or a Jersey's what you want, or a Dexter, you know?
Okay.
So if you look up, just seriously type in National Dexter Cow Society, and something will pop up that'll help you.
Okay.
Even though it may not be called the National Dexter Cow, you know, it may be called the Dexter National Cow Organization, you know, whatever.
Something, yeah. You'll find it.
You'll find it. Often beef cattle breeds are divided up into material and sire breeds. Oh, sorry, maternal and sire breeds. Maternal breeds are not overly huge, but are noted for their ability to raise healthy, rigorous calves.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Sorry. And then terminal breeds tend to be larger and used for meat production. So that means that's it. That's the animal that's at the end.
Okay.
Of course, there are composite breeds, which is that hybrid, where you mix the maternal and the terminal. They provide ideal genetics for either market. And that's like, we're talking about that first genetic offspring.
Okay.
You'll have a cow of one and a bull of another.
Mm-hmm.
And those, you have those two breeds and you're eating the babies of those two animals.
Gotcha.
Some of the most common breeds for meat production on the maternal side of things is Angus, Hereford, Red Angus, and Shorthorns. Great terminal breeds include Mariajon, Simmentals, Limousines, and Carlos. Carlos, I can't say that word ever. It's like the name Carlos.
Okay.
Let's talk about some of the best dairy breeds. Holstein cows are probably the cow that you know.
Is that the black and white one?
Yep. It's, when you think of a cow, you're thinking of a Holstein.
The one that looks like kind of like an Alkiro?
Yes.
Okay.
These black and white animals make up roughly 90% of the dairy cows in the United States. So they're relatively easy to find.
Yeah.
And they produce, on average, about 9 gallons of milk a day.
Oh, okay. That's why. That's a lot.
There are some animals, individuals, that produce much more than that.
Yeah. It's so much.
The next one, we're going to go to the next most popular breed, and it's, once again, 90% of the cows, the dairy cows in the U.S. are Holsteins.
Okay.
So there's not a lot of percentage left.
Left, right, yeah.
Although Jerseys don't produce quite as much as the Holsteins, which is Jersey cows next.
Okay.
They're still an extremely popular homestead choice. A lot of homesteads will pick this over a Holstein.
Now, why is that?
This is because they have the highest amount of butterfat in their milk.
Ooh.
Up to 5%.
Oh, I like this.
So their milk is ideal for making products like cheese and butter.
Mm, now you're speaking my language.
So, yeah, that's why you pick a Holstein. That's why you pick a Jersey over a Holstein.
In a small environment.
In a small farm operation. Yes. If you want one or two cows,
mm-hmm.
most of the time, if it's a homestead, you're probably going to pick a Jersey over a Holstein. If you're having 20 or 30 cows for a more like business side of it,
yeah,
you're going to pick a Holstein.
Right, because you're going to want as much milk as possible.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like...
I prefer quality over quantity.
Well, it depends on just what your goal is.
Absolutely.
Brown Swiss is another common one. Brown Swiss cows are some of the most docile and known for being extremely friendly dairy cows.
Oh, well, man.
Which I worked with beef later in my life. I worked with big beef cows.
Yeah.
And dairy cows.
Yeah.
Dairy cows are 100 times meaner than beef cows.
Really?
I got shoulder checked. I got kicked. Every time you came around the edge of the wall, they would throw their whole body weight to crush you against the wall.
Even these Brown Swiss?
I don't remember any of the ones. They were mostly Holsteins and Jerseys I was working with. That's what I'm saying. That generally speaking, dairy cows have a lot more attitude than beef cows. Beef cows just look scarier.
Oh, okay. I wonder if they just know.
More docile and friendly. They are the second most productive after the Holsteins. They even have enough butter fat in their milk to make cheese and butter as well.
Oh, okay.
So this is Brown Swiss are kind of the mix. You know, they're the second producing in milk, and they don't quite have as much butter fat as the Jerseys, but they have enough to do cheese and butter.
But they're more calm, too.
Very much more calm.
Yeah.
They're notably calm. And once again, when we talk about this is breed standards.
Yeah.
There are individuals that are nuts.
Absolutely.
With any animal group. And there's individuals that, you know.
Like dogs.
Yeah, anything. I'm just bringing that up again.
Yeah.
Like when we talked about chicken, Polish chickens are renowned for their docile nature. But you'll get one every once in a while that's just
a real jerk.
He's just an a-hole.
Yeah.
He'll kill you. Guernsey. Guernseys are known for their yellowish milk. It contains a high value of beta carotene, which is an excellent source of vitamin A.
Yeah, it is. Yellow milk?
It's slightly tinged yellow.
Okay. Did I ever tell you a story when I got tricked into drinking buttermilk?
No. What, did you didn't like buttermilk?
You ever drink it straight?
Mm-hmm.
And you liked it?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's been a long time.
I was a little kid, and my grandpa, I was probably six.
I used to drink condensed milk, too.
That's good. That's good. That stuff's sweet.
Yeah.
But that's like candy.
It's just sugar.
I know.
That's where caramel comes from, right?
You can make it that way, yeah.
Yeah, you just boil the can.
Yeah, you make caramel out of it. Yeah.
Continue, sorry.
Yeah, I was a little kid. I remember being at my grandma and grandpa's house, and I told my grandpa, and I love milk, still do this day. I got a gallon, a half gallon in my hand right now. And you got any milk? I'm thirsty. He's like, yeah, sure, right there at the bottom of the fridge. I open it up. Buttermilk? What's this? He's like, it's good. And I'm like, okay. So I took the cow, chugged it right out of the thing. Yeah, about puked. That is not good straight out of it.
Because the chunks are what?
I don't know. No, it just tastes terrible.
I thought it was good.
Oh, I don't know. Well, maybe I was used to chugging. I still am chugging just milk.
I chug milk too.
Oh, God, yeah. Don't drink buttermilk right out.
Next breed is the A-Shire. This breed isn't quite as common as the others, but it's still a worthy choice. It is an orange brown in color and is one of the hardiest of all the dairy cow breeds. This is one of the best homestead cows in rugged, extreme areas.
Hmm. It sounds interesting.
Yeah, so you really don't see them unless you're in the mountains or you're really far north.
It didn't sound like something you need, but I kind of want that now.
I've never seen one.
Okay, we need this. What's it called again?
An A-Shire. Ayrshire. Hmm.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
If anyone out there listening...
I know, we had a listener, Uran,
yes.
Found us... A Catahoula leopard dog.
Which is amazing.
Mangalisa pigs.
Yep.
Bald cypress saplings.
Yes.
I think he's bringing us figs.
We're building the homestead. So if anyone wants to donate a plant or an animal or anything.
I'm literally selling my house.
Add to it. It's happening.
My ancestral home to live in a shed.
I hope we're not idiots.
I asked Dad. Dad said it was a smart decision so far.
That's funny. I asked Dad. He said,
"Well, because I get so worked up on stuff that I don't know if I'm an idiot or not."
I know, me either. I don't know.
And you don't ever.
No,
Lisa won't stand up and say, This is bad.
Well, see, in my head, like, this is amazing. This is great ideas.
We're doing it. I'm doing it for the kids.
No, yeah. I mean, that's good. Great motivation. Yeah. I'm not far off.
I'm fine. Like, I'll sleep in the same room with the kids for a couple years. If they have a better life and they have better food and they have better quality.
That's the thing.
It may not be as much space as this house, but I truly believe, and I may be wrong, and, you know, you don't know as a parent until years down the road.
Nah, you don't know.
But I truly believe with how the world's going and how much hormones are being pumped into everything.
Yeah.
First off, a steady food supply for my kids.
Is important?
Is important. Probably the next or even more important thing is that I've acquired a lot of knowledge for whether it's fisheries, biology, or homesteading, or, you know, gardening. And I just want them to, if they want it, they can have that knowledge.
Right.
Going forward.
Is it the end?
I can't fix anything. No. I'm not a fixer.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
I'm not a fixer. I can't do that. My dad is a fixer.
Yeah.
And he tried forever. I'm just not.
Right, yeah.
And
I get it.
I'm not. I'm just not.
No.
But I'm a grower.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally, I've done nothing with my tomatoes, and one of them's like 8.5 feet long laying into the alley.
Right, yeah. It's huge.
Just because I fertilized the soil with chicken poop this spring. Right. Mixed it in.
Yeah.
Anyways. No, even if it's a bad decision, it's a decision. We'll last one for the milk cows. We'll be fine. Is the milking shorthorns.
Okay.
A milking shorthorn is also a good choice for a more rustic homestead. These efficient grazers are easy to manage and have excellent feed conversion ratios compared to other cow breeds.
Oh, okay.
I think I've seen a milking shorthorn. I'm going to look that up.
That'd be interesting to look. And too, you know, they feed cows like on industrial farms. Well, we talked about it earlier on an earlier episode about mad cow disease.
Oh, gosh.
And it's coming back. You know, industrial cow farms, they're feeding cows.
Cows.
Cows. Their diet is...
Oh, I've seen these. I know somebody that has these.
Nice. Okay. They're feeding them ground-up cows, but like...
They're very popular in Indiana.
I'm excited to have sheep, pigs, chickens, cow, and know what we're feeding them.
Right.
And then I'll be really excited to eat them. Like, I can't wait for that one.
My personal favorite on this list is the Jerseys. Well, I don't think I've ever been around brown Swiss.
Yeah, that sounded interesting. And then that one, that rugged one, and even the shorthorn. What did those look? I seen those before? Probably.
Yeah, they just look like a big brown cow. They're not
okay.
They're not crazy looking at all.
And my dad grew up on a dairy farm. That's what they did as kids, or my grandpa did.
Oh, I actually know somebody that has brown Swiss too. I did not know that's what that was.
Oh, nice. Okay.
No, we can get brown Swiss. I didn't realize that was that breed.
Oh, cool. Those look nice. Yeah.
I know people that breed these locally.
Okay, nice.
So we can get a couple. Because I would like it. You have to have two cows. That's a thing we're getting to.
What? You have to, though, right? Pretty much.
Yeah. No, they're social animals. They're herd animals. Yeah.
It's just this joke from, actually, it's from a D&D campaign that I listened to. Not the one from, those guys over at Crypts of Corn are doing right now on their Patreon. If you're not joining their Patreon, it's pretty fun. They're doing a D&D or not D&D, RPG role-playing game campaign. But I was watching these guys do it. You know, they take place from the olden times.
Yeah.
And they were trying to bribe this lady, and he's like, the Dungeon Master's like, oh, no, like, I don't need your money. I have two cows. So you said that.
I have two cows.
Yeah, like bragging. Like, that's
how
well off I am. I got two cows.
Gosh. No, they are social animals.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people that have mixed herds with like horses and goats, and I've heard mixed things. Whether it's very good and they get along with the goats and stuff. And I've heard where like it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I think it's all about the individual animals and their dynamics.
I just realized I think I'm reliving a childhood book called Funny Farm.
Or did a cow and a goat beat themselves to death?
No, it's just this guy acquired a farm and he just slowly started acquiring more and bigger animals.
Oh, no, that's happening.
I'm slowly remembering the book. Some things are becoming very relatable.
He didn't look like me, Daniel.
No, he looked like me.
Oh, gosh.
He's tall. I guess not tall, but he's lanky. Skinny, just goofy guy that doesn't know what he's doing. Then
Yeah. Let's talk about beef breeds.
Okay. Yeah. This one I'm more interested. Like I said, my dad grew up a dairy farmer, and he told me a lot of stories about like what that was like and what it involved. And
he told me the story about baseball.
Yeah, he wasn't allowed to play baseball. We should get him on here and tell that story. That's probably not a good story to tell. Basically, he said he left the freezer door open, or the fridge to the where all the milk was being stored cracked like a half an inch. He didn't close the door all the way, and Grandpa came home, found him, and told Dad he wasn't allowed to play baseball
for a whole year.
While all of his friends and brothers.
And then beat him.
Well, I don't know about that. He wasn't home much. Actually, Dad spent more time at home than he did at school.
I believe that.
Yeah.
A dairy farm kid?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, Angus. This is probably a cow you've heard of. Mm-hmm. You've probably seen it. They're not all black.
I was going to say black Angus, but beef.
Now, we can talk about that. That's a USDA trick, and it's not true.
Mm.
Black Angus is not real as far as the USDA little sticker they give you.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that sells steaks,
though.
Now,
when I was in college for ag business and management, how to get the stamp is making sure the cow has an all-black nose.
Mm.
Could be classified as a black Angus.
Mm. Well, with black Angus, you know, and the USDA and their food, I think it's time maybe before we get into all the beef cattle. If you're slicing off you a nice steak this evening, or you plan on in the near future, before you do, why don't you hop on over to flavorsforce.com/corn and get you a bottle of Flavors of the Forest Bigfoot Breath. This is freeze-dried garlic seasoning. It's like your garlic powder at home, except times 10. Let's just put it that way. It's like garlic powder on steroids because it's like 100. Crack. It's like 100, yes. It's 100% straight, real garlic. There's no filler. There's nothing. It's freeze-dried garlic, and it's delicious. And Nelson over there at Flavors of the Forest, he has a whole line of flavors to add to his garlic because they're all garlic-based. So he's got horseradish, a ginger flavor, a spicy one. Limited time, there was a cranberry one. There's a lion's mane mushroom flavor.
That's my favorite if you can get it.
If you can get that and put that on some steak, it's next level. It's next level stuff. It's a product that lasts. You don't need much. It
I think
lasts.
Something's on the roof of the shack.
It might be a Dover demon or a little ghost German boy.
He's not here.
Remember the ghost upstairs? Oh, you're right. He's not here.
He's on vacation, the little ghost boy.
Yeah, the ghost boy living in your attic. Flavors outside. Of the Forest. Flavors of the Forest. Put it on your steak. I'm telling you, get you a bottle. Just try it out. Just try it one time. It's worth it. And Christmas is coming up.
Buy everybody some.
Get them. It's a great Christmas gift. It's a stocking stuffer that'll go so far.
Where do they get it at?
At flavorsforest.com/corn. That's flavorsforest.com/corn. And get you some Flavors of Forest Bigfoot Breath garlic seasoning.
So yeah, Angus. Angus are black cows that are genetically polled, meaning they have no horns. They're known for their tender, marbled meat and their maternal abilities.
Mm.
They can be somewhat aggressive, but they require very little care at calving time.
Oh, okay.
So there's a problem right now, a huge problem in the cattle industry.
Uh-oh.
It is. And I have friends that are on several cattle boards for the country, actually. Okay. I have one friend that is on, I think, the Dexter. And I got a friend that's on the Jersey. That's dairy. But there was this big push for a long, long time in a lot of these breeds to produce bigger calves.
Okay.
So they were selecting for females and males that produced bigger calves.
Like birth bigger ones?
That birth bigger ones.
Okay.
Depending, like there's a weight range. Like humans, right?
Yeah.
Cows a little more dramatic because they're such a bigger animal. The problem is a lot of these breeds, we got them too big.
Okay.
And now we're at a stuck point where you have to get the cow, it's called a calf puller.
Oh, they can't birth them.
They can't birth them. They're too big.
Oh, wow.
So it causes tons and tons of...
That sounds like it could be a problem.
Yeah, it causes tons and tons of stress on the mother. I think there's a ghost. Something happened.
A Dover demon just broke into the shack.
A naked Dover demon.
A naked Dover demon. With the most confused look on her face.
I mean, what's going on? What was I saying? Oh, so yeah, calf puller is literally, in all intents and purposes, it is a ratchet strap, like a car puller.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
For a trailer that you attach to a tree or a post in a barn, and you reach in and get the front legs, and you just keep ratcheting it until the calf pops out.
So you just yank it out.
Yeah. And obviously this is extremely hard on the mother and extremely hard on the calf. And we're at the point where some of these breeds are getting to that where they're trying to go back. And they're finding these small farms. A lot of these industrial farms are finding small family farms that didn't do that, that maybe have, you know, that it's been our own cows for 40 years.
And right.
By small farm, I mean, they may have 300 head of cattle.
Right.
But, you know, it's small compared to a place that has 50,000 head of cattle.
Oh, big time, yeah.
So getting some of those genetics back of normal-sized calves.
Mm-hmm. Is important to them.
Yeah, yeah. Because they're bad moms, some of these animals, because their childbirth is so
traumatic.
Traumatic.
Yeah.
They don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
There's no love because it sucked.
It wasn't as nature
I've had to
intended.
Do that with a horse. And horses are a little different because how lanky their legs are. If they curl, they have to come out leg first.
Okay.
They have to reach in the horse and straighten the legs.
Oof.
And she was so tired. Oof. Wasn't our horse. But she was so tired, she couldn't push anymore.
Yeah.
And they're both fine. They both lived.
So you just had to reach in there and yank her out?
No. We had to put it in a calf puller hoist. So it's literally like a little Y thing that you put their hoofs in.
Yeah.
And guide them out. And you're slowly adding pressure so you're not yanking on them.
Gotcha.
And you're not hurting the mom.
Yeah.
Because there's a little bit of suction.
Yeah.
But she was so exhausted that she couldn't push anymore.
Yes, done.
And the colt was fine. And the mom was fine after she relaxed for a little bit.
All right.
The vet, I think, gave her, I can't remember. It's not like adrenaline. It's like a sugar shot.
Okay.
Just to help him bounce back from like
a little
all
boost
that.
Energy. Yeah.
But yeah. So Black Angus are known for their ability to calf easier.
Okay.
So they don't have a lot of calf stress. Herefords are the next one. Hereford cattle are extremely large, heavily boned animals. They are docile and mellow compared to a lot of the other cattle on this list.
Ooh, all right.
Shorthorns again. So shorthorns are considered a dual-purpose breed. The shorthorns are yellow to brown in color with white markings. That's not shorthorns. A dual-purpose breed of shorthorn produces small calves that grow very rapidly.
Oh, this is still the... What'd you say?
Shorthorn.
Oh, it's not the Hereford?
I skipped down one... When I was reading.
Oh, okay. So we're still on the shorthorn. Okay.
Yeah, the shorthorn is a dual-purpose breed. It produces small calves that grow rapidly.
Oh, okay. So they're meat and milk?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've talked about this with any of the other animals we talked about, with pigs and chickens and goats and sheep. Dual-purpose are kind of that jack-of-all-trades, a master of none, but it's something like a jack of multiple is a better than one. That there's a full saying to there. Everybody only says the first sentence.
Huh.
Where it's saying that a jack of all trades is better because you can do whatever with it.
Right, yeah.
So, like with chickens, for example, that's one I know a lot about. Dual purpose, their meat will never be as good. Their carcass will never be as good as a meat breed. But meat breeds are notoriously bad egg layers.
Okay.
They will never, a dual purpose will never lay as many eggs as an egg breed.
Right.
But egg birds are notoriously bad carcass animals.
Right, yep.
So dual purpose are perfect. If you are on a homestead, a dual purpose animal is probably something you're looking for. One that can do both.
Less surface area.
Oh, yeah. Cover. I mean, it's... I like dual purpose breeds a lot. Yeah. Bitch. Next one is Seminoles. This is the one I started reading down.
Oh, okay.
Seminoles, the originally a dairy cow breed, Seminoles are yellow and brown in color with white markings. They grow rapidly and are also decent at producing milk. So this is one that switched from a dairy breed to a beef breed. Limousines, an ancient breed from the far west France.
Ooh.
This breed grows rapidly and has minimal calving problems. Over the years, it has been crossed with many other breeds to increase weaning weight and size.
Limousines. Never heard of them.
We have some around here.
I don't. I'll be honest. I don't really know any of these.
You've seen all of these so far.
Okay. I just don't know them by name.
The Carlosa. I cannot say this. It's a white cattle that are heavily muscular, prized for their feed efficiency. You've seen pictures of these. I've never seen one in person that I can remember. The Galburva. The Galburva.
Okay.
Are tan in color, and they are raised not only for milk and meat, but also as draft animals.
Ah, good pullers.
So this is often used on homesteads and even in Amish communities as work animals as well.
Multi-tool.
Yeah. Wagyu.
Oh, I know. This is Japan.
Wagyu cattle originated in Japan and are also known for their highly marbled meat. They are a delicacy of Japan as well as many parts of the United States.
Yeah, but don't they like massage those cows and give them like really pristine
they can, living but conditions? They're bred specifically to have very fatty meat.
Marbled meat. Yeah.
There's the, I just forgot it. You can tell it's getting late. It's been 9 o'clock.
Must have been a lie.
No, Kelly's Island cattle.
Okay.
One of the most expensive, it is the most expensive cattle in Ohio.
Wow.
There's a small herd of cattle on Kelly's Island that they raise for beef.
Oh, they're unique unto their own?
I think they're a normal breed, but they're raised on an island, so it's like fancy.
Oh. I guess you can say that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what we should do. Around the whole property, we just dig a moat.
And it's an island.
And it's everything's island exotics. So
here's one you see every day. And if we ever do beef cattle, this will probably be the one. Dexters.
Yep.
Dexters are the smallest of all of the beef cattle breeds.
Okay.
Bred in Southern Ireland, they're great at foraging and need less feed than many other breeds.
All right, speaking my language.
They also finish extremely fast, maturing as little as a year on grass.
Oh, that's great.
So when other breeds sometimes takes 2 or 2.5 years to finish on grass,
yeah,
these guys can still do it in a year.
Okay.
They're not huge, and I like that. I hate big cattle.
They're
dangerous.
Be overwhelming. Yeah.
They knock over fences. You're not supposed to pet cows. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah, you've told me, but tell everyone at home.
Yeah, you're not supposed to pet cows, and it's not because they don't like it. It's the opposite.
They do like it too much.
They really like it, and the problem is they'll lean on you.
Yeah.
But when they're 1,000 pounds and they're leaning on you, they'll kill you.
Yeah, it's not good.
So it's just a warning that a lot of 4-H kids get, smothered. Stuff like that. No, the warning that...
I'm just kidding.
That, you can baby and love up on this animal now, but remember,
yeah,
he's going to be 1,000 pounds in 8 months.
Yeah, he ain't going to know.
Yeah, and he's going to want that baby and that loving.
It's like when I had a St. Bernard, and she grew out of the puppy size, but still had the puppy mentality, and it was like a fear and fight for my life just to get from the bus to my house, because this dog was going to jump on me and murder me because she just wanted to play.
Mm-hmm. And just so everybody knows, there are dozens of other popular beef breeds as well. And look into them. Everything from American Brahmas, which you just seen this past 2 weekends ago.
Brahmas are wild.
Sanagargis, Beef Masters, Murray Grays, Sallers. Like, there's beef breeds from all over the world and dairy breeds as well. So just because they weren't on, we just named the most popular ones.
Right, yeah.
There's dozens of both breeds. Where to buy cows? This is one. This is going to be a little bit of a longer episode. I hope you guys liked it.
Gosh, where to buy them?
Yeah, we're almost.
You just buy them from local farmers?
So if you have a breeder, like we know a Dexter breeder.
Okay.
Literally right across from the property we're getting.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they actually breed Jerseys, too.
Okay.
Because that's what her daughter went to Nationals for, Jersey.
Nice.
Like they have a really high-end Jersey line.
Ooh.
I don't know if they sell any of those.
Yeah, maybe we'll just work some magic.
If I asked if they would sell them, they would sell one to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they do that. It depends on what you want, right? You can locate reputable breeders in your area and purchase directly from the farms, like we just said. Often, animals are sold at auctions, but you need to be careful when you're buying that type of livestock auctions. You have to know what the animals are, you know, what breed they are, their gender. An animal auction can be a pretty big wild card.
Oh, absolutely.
Another thing, and this is something they checked with the buffalo that just sold, the bison, is that sometimes they medicate, and this is not advocated, but sometimes they heavily medicate it, so it's hard to tell whether it's behavioral docility
Oh.
Or if it's medicated possibility at the time they buy. So that's why that guy at the auction, oh, you weren't outside with me.
No, I wasn't.
He was screaming, make him stand up, make him stand up.
The buffalo you're talking.
The bison.
Yeah.
Because he's huge. He's like 3,000, I don't know how big he actually was, but he was massive. He looked like a polar bear in there.
Yeah. Big white buffalo.
But they're like, that's the guy that was interested by him was like making him stand up because he was laying down. So they were worried that he was tranked.
Right, yeah.
So is this is he nuts? Am I going to get him in my trailer and he's going to pop a hole right in it?
Gosh, I can't imagine. How do you, I don't know. I wrangle that, transport it.
That's what they're saying is, did he dart it?
Right, yeah.
And then just kind of, when it's half asleep or half drunk,
yeah,
you know, just kind of coax him in.
That's insane.
Because he was in with the mini Zabus.
Yeah.
So that was what I thought he did, is once the mini Zabus went in,
he
probably went in.
Yeah. Still, I wouldn't want to handle him.
Like auctions, I would never buy a cow at an auction without a cow person with me. And I have several friends
that are. Yeah.
I buy birds constantly without anybody because I became very adapt at birds.
Yeah. You know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Or looking at.
Yeah. I would never buy a cow at an auction without.
We almost bought that water buffalo at the last auction.
That's a little different.
We almost.
We wouldn't have sold it.
That's closest to a cow, right?
They are bovids.
Okay. So it's, yeah. So yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the cow, like, group, yes.
Okay. Yeah, water buffalo,
They're not a cow, though.
Okay. I've always heard their milk, it's really nutritionally packed.
Asiatic water buffalo is what it is.
Is that what we've seen?
Yes, yeah, that's what you want. You don't want an African water buffalo.
Okay.
African water buffaloes will murder you.
I'm telling you, that was the first time I ever seen one. If I didn't know that's what it was, looking
they
at
look
the baby.
Like cows. Yeah, they look like cows.
I mean, I'll be honest.
Big ears. They have really big ears for cows.
They look like a little baby moose, too.
It's because like the ears.
All that. It looked like all that in one. Like, if I didn't know, I would really not put my finger on water buffalo.
So, another problem with auctions is they could be sterile. They could be crossbreds. They could have diseases. You don't know anything about that animal.
Right.
So that's why you take somebody like extension offices, like we talked about in the sheep episode and everything else.
Yep. Like the one here is Ohio State.
Yeah.
Right?
We are Ohio State Extension Office, but there's also ag and soil and water. There's several organizations you can go to. They have physical offices to be like, I really would like to get a couple Jersey cows. Is there anybody that you know is a reputable breeder?
Gotcha.
And they'll point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
Or they'll tell you, well, we don't know anybody. But blah, blah, blah runs the Hardin County Beef Department. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they do. Here's their number.
Right, yeah.
Because that's for our local group, that you get my number, essentially.
Gotcha.
For some of the needs.
All right, there you go, Daniel. Get Daniel's number.
Yeah. But yeah, it's because I am a county resource for that specific thing. And I would use those county resources.
That's why they're there.
When I get a call about those questions, I love it. It's just like, I'm happy that somebody's interested in what I have a great passion for.
Right, yeah.
And yeah, I'll help you. I'll find anything for you. Mm.
I got to find like a bowling parts specific to a certain machine resource.
Another hotline. Thing is Craigslist.
That's still a thing?
Yeah, I use it.
Wow.
And it kind of follows the same thing as auctions, you know.
Oh, yeah, you don't know.
You don't know.
Like Facebook Market.
And there's no animal sales allowed on the Facebook Market.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You can do like Ohio. I think the page I use a lot for finding animals, the Ohio homesteading page.
Uh-huh.
And you can see, and you can even ask, like, hey, I'm thinking about getting a Jersey cow from so-and-so farms. Anybody have experiences with it?
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
No reputable farm should feel bad about that.
Right.
If they're in the comments complaining about that, there's your sign.
Yeah.
Why are you asking about me? Blah, blah, blah.
Right, yeah.
Any, like...
Your track record should speak for itself.
Like I said, buying calves from dairy operations. You have a large dairy farms in your area. A lot of times they sell calves, bottle fed when they're old enough to be weaned. That means your bottle. So if you get a newborn calf as a bottle baby,
yep.
Keep in mind, you're going to be feeding that thing for 4 to 6 months.
Dang. That's every day?
Multiple times a day.
Dang. Every day. Of course, it's every day. Things eat every day?
And like I said, when you're buying a cow, make friends with somebody or talk to your extension office. Go to your groups. There are plenty of resources publicly. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what to look for when you're buying a cow because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. Like that's. But I have friends. If I want a dairy cow, I'm going to ask this person.
Right. This is who
I have. This is my budget. I want two dairy cows.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, okay, you're going to go to X.
It's important to develop that community. Know your, you know, the people you spend the time with, you work with, and develop those relationships with your community, your neighbors, your fellow farmers, your fellow homesteaders. It's important. We need the fellowship. It's important to have fellowship again.
How much did you expect to spend on cows? Cow prices vary wildly depending on breed, time of year, local market. And just if there's somebody else at the auction that hates you.
Yep.
Gosh.
Yep.
He didn't hate me, but he took my emu.
Yep. He bit himself up.
He did twice. It cost him $150.
$300. Yep. $310. Yep.
And then the auctioneer finally was yep. like, he's like, "You, I got you." And I found it. It's because, you know, he can't see, right?
Which one?
The guy that was bidding.
Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah.
He has a big blind spot from damaged retinas.
Oh, that I didn't know. Okay. So like, I knew it was
my brother said impaired. That's why he was looking at the auctioneer and he couldn't see him saying that I got you.
Yeah.
And that's why, because he's probably right in his blind spot.
Gotcha.
And he didn't want to be out.
Yeah.
So that makes a little more sense because I'm standing like 10 feet from him. I didn't know he was that blind. My brother confirmed, though, he's that blind. How much did you spend on cows? Depending on where you're at, all these factors. Brand new baby cows, you know, younger animals are cheaper than older animals. $80 to $1,000, depending on.
I was like, whoa, yes.
I've seen calves go for a couple $100. Yeah. It's pretty common in our area.
Uh-huh.
Couple $100, maybe 3-4, sometimes if you're getting better, you know, genetics or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're buying, a big problem we have in our county is with our actual fair show.
Uh-huh.
Where one kit, and this is the dumbest thing, and I'm actually friends with the ex board for our county. She's my beef person. That if we buy a beef cow, that's who we're talking to.
Gotcha.
Because she was the head of it forever.
Yeah.
And she gave it up because of this kind of BS stuff.
Okay.
They spent $15,000 on a calf.
Buying it?
Yeah. You want to know something crazier?
What?
They didn't win, first off. And the dad we thought he was going to bomb the place.
Because he didn't win?
Yeah. Because that was just the calf, buying the calf, not alone all the supplies. The most expensive calf I ever knew that was bought was $45,000.
Oh my gosh. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, there's high-end genetics in cows. Like I said, the cattle industry.
What's the return on that?
None. No, it's not. It's all for glory.
Huh.
There's no return.
Wow. It's ridiculous.
Remember, cows are big. Getting them, transporting them safely is very hard, or it's very easy.
Cow's worth more than me.
Feeding cows, I'm just trying to, I know we've been going over.
I wish someone would pay me that much money just to
So depending exist. On your breed, if they're fast-growing animals, you got to keep in mind that they have extra caloric needs.
Yeah.
So slow-growing breeds, that may push you off of a, because they're slow-growing, but their caloric needs are much lower.
Right, yeah.
So if you have fast-growing breeds, they need a lot more food now.
Right now.
And they need digestible food. And then this also goes for pregnant and lactating animals. So if you're keeping a cow in milk, she's going to need a lot more resources.
Mm.
If a cow is pregnant, she's going to need a lot more resources.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these animals, depending on how you're doing it, free-range, with just grass-fed, depending on what you're doing, a lot of times that's not going to cut it for a dairy animal specifically.
Gotcha, okay.
Because you're requiring so much more from that animal that they are going to need input. By that, I mean, you know, extra feed.
They need fuel.
Yeah, yeah. They need fuel.
You can't run your car without gas.
Even
a Tesla. You need that diesel fuel to run those generators.
So cows only eat a certain size of grass. And the shepherd talked about this. That's why they mix their cows and sheep in rotational patterns.
Mm.
Cows like forage that's 6 to 10 inches long. Any longer, they have trouble getting it in their throat. Any shorter, they can't wrap their tongue around it and pull.
Huh.
And most people suggest once it gets down to 4 inches, you pull them off that pasture.
Okay.
Because they're just going to start ripping it out of the roots and killing everything.
Okay.
It's not good for them either. Overgrazing pastures causes a lot of problems. It causes them to bounce back extremely slowly. And then the next couple of years, it's not very healthy forage.
Oh, gotcha. The pastures just jump.
So managing pastures is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Managing your grass and stuff like that. And also, a lot of people don't realize this, parasites are all over in the grass. Tapeworms are in grass.
No.
Yeah. So, you know, doing, you know, keeping up on your dewormers, your the anti-parasite stuff. There are stuff you have to do, just like any livestock animal.
Is that like ivermectin?
That's my go-to, but there are other compounds that are just the same. Veterinary care, you got to remember, these are big animals. Stuff you should have on hand that this person suggests. Liquid bandage spray, banding tools and elastic bands, syringes with needles, tags and tagging gun, a drench gun, syringes for administrating dewormers, which is the throat. Like, it looks like a needle.
Yeah.
But it's actually just it doesn't have a point on it. But right. So you can put it in the back of the throat and squirt it.
They have to swallow it.
Yeah, because they'll spit it out.
Mm.
But veterinary care for these animals is extremely expensive. These animals are extremely expensive. So the bigger you get, the harder it is to transport, the more fencing you need. And I'm talking from, we talk with pigs, to goats, to sheep, to cattle.
Yeah.
An electric, you know, you probably need some kind of electric fence. You know, with a pig or, you know, goats, you can have electric, but it's not 100% necessary depending on what kind of fencing you do. A cow, if he's mad or she's mad, she's just going to push through it.
Yeah, they're going to go through
it. I've seen him do it.
Any fence.
I've seen teddy bear cows do it.
They cows get through it all the time.
Or they're not even doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
They're just leaning on it, and they're 1,200 pounds.
Pops.
And it just falls apart. They're like, who?
Yeah, what's over there?
Who?
More grass?
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, it's always greener.
Oh, we've had, the neighbor's cows. Not seeing it happens all the time, but it happens from time to time. Just call them, you know, I think your cow's out again. But they never get too far.
I almost got murdered by a bull because of that.
Got out?
I told you that, didn't I?
I don't know.
I came home from school. Mom was nowhere to be seen. And our barn doors, the big barn doors, were closed. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. But I was going down to feed all the animals, do my chores for the evening, all that.
Yeah.
I open the doors, and there's this massive bull running at me. We don't have cows at this time.
Yeah.
And I just start taking off. Because I open these doors, and this, like, 2,000-pound behemoth.
And sprinting through?
He's running at me. He's coming to kill me.
Yeah.
Mom comes flying down in the four-wheeler. She had locked him in there. Comes down flying in the four-wheeler with a snowplow on it, and he rams the snowplow and starts pushing the four-wheeler backwards.
Jeez.
It was our neighbor's cow.
Got free.
Yeah, it was his bull.
Oh, and she locked him in the barn.
Well, he was in the barn trying to mate our horses.
Oh, gosh.
So Mom didn't know what to do.
Just locked it up.
And then the guy that owns him comes over, like, grabs him gently by, like, the head and the halter and just walks him back over to his place.
That's funny.
Like, he was super sweet.
Yeah.
Another big thing with cows is foot health. They get stuff stuck in their soles and their feet. They get infections. You need to have somebody that can do that. They can clean the feet. There's a lot of famous, like, TikToks and stuff where you see them carve out their feet.
Looks kind of gross sometimes.
It's disgusting, but some people love it. But, yeah, so, you need to make sure somebody does that. But, I mean, that's pretty much it. Slaughtering beef cattle, I would suggest that you take it to a local butcher that'll process it for you.
There's plenty of them around.
For us, there are.
Yeah.
But depending on your area, I don't know if there are. There are mobile butchers, depending on your area.
Ooh, that's quite a profession.
Yeah, where they just come out, basically, it's a USDA-inspected, like...
booth?
No. It's trailer? Like a trailer.
Yeah.
But it's basically a butcher station that they bring out to you.
Mobile station, yeah.
And they normally have another truck that has a packing station. So if you're doing a lot of livestock for your own consumption or whatever, a lot of times... that may be more beneficial because if it's, let's say it's cows, it may be hard to load up a couple cows to take to them.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, that's what I would suggest. If you don't have any experience butchering anything, don't start with a cow.
That's a rough one to start with.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Butchering a goat sucks. I don't know about butchering a cow.
I've never really butchered anything besides quail. Or those quail we did.
I just butchered turkeys 2 nights ago.
Does cleaning fish count as butchering?
Yes, I think technically.
I think it does, too.
But yeah, that's cows.
Yeah, this has been interesting, informative.
Yeah. What do you got to say?
I think I narrowed it down to maybe a couple cows I kind of want. But, you know, I really want everyone just to get involved with their local, what's it called, the branches and the organizations that can help, the resources that can help you learn about cows, learn about local dairy, learn about local meat, and get free food, get in touch with your local farmers. Flat earth claims, they say there's no proof, but we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand, manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's home.
A mystery unsolved, tumor sealed, governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the legal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. There's no proof, but we know the truth. We're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mills hold up a mystery unsolved. To our seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth. Expose the lies, that's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.